something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Father God, we just thank you for your word. In the next coming minutes, would you just speak through my mouth and control my tongue, and that your Holy Spirit would minister and let your words be known to us, and that you would touch our hearts this time. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. As you know, today is the first day of the first ever Asia Justice Conference. Well, you might not know that, but so basically today, tomorrow, and Saturday, there's a bunch of people from across Asia kind of just convening to talk about how primarily church does justice. I'm privileged to kind of share today a little bit about God's heart for justice. And, I kind of sourced a lot of different texts, and but if it sounds profound, it's probably from somebody else. So Tim Keller was talking about Matthew 25 in this passage. It's a very familiar passage. We've heard it a lot. There's been lots of commentary about it. But I like the way he put it. He put it this way, that Jesus is basically saying, if you don't love the poor, the hungry, the naked, then no matter what you say, you don't love me. You do not have a relationship with me. If it's full of compliance and ordinances, but you don't have a relationship with me, the way you treat the poor informs me of the reality of your relationship with me. That's kind of a tough message. You know, oftentimes when you think about it, I guess a lot of people here, if you make it out to EMP, you're a little bit less so, because you're also some of the same people who are involved with like various different justice ministries. But in our day-to-day lives, we struggle with our own challenges at work, just trying to be, a good Christian in our workplaces, be nice to people, don't get angry and stuff. But is that enough? And I think here it's pretty clear that Jesus is saying, no, that's not enough. Because you do have this responsibility to reach out to those who have less than you, those who are going hungry, the naked. And in times when you think about that, in my own case, I sometimes struggle with this as well, in that there's this big burden that you should go out and do justice, right? That there's a sense that you know that you're supposed to do this, I get a very big sense of guilt when I'm not here on Thursdays to go out with SB Lights. If I miss, if I walk by someone on the bridge from IFC over to Central, and there's someone asking for money, and if I just like walk by in a hurry, then afterwards I always get this big sense of guilt, right? But But on the one hand, you know, God calls us to really take notice of people around us and to really reach out to people who are in need. But at the same time, it's not really something where, you know, He tells us to do these things, and if it becomes like an obligation, or if it becomes kind of this burden that we bear, then I think we're missing the point again. Because once it becomes kind of this thing that I need to do to prove my love, or if I need to kind of gain God's love because, you know, through my good actions, then we're kind of just back in the Old Testament world of, you know, the Ten Commandments and stuff. But we know that that's not kind of the basis of our faith. The basis of our faith is that, you know, nothing is gained by our works, but it is by faith that and God's grace that we've been saved, right? It's our love relationship with God. So there's this dichotomy, right? And something that I personally struggle with a lot, because you go from one extreme of, you know, it's all by grace and it's all by faith, and so it's not about works. We're human beings, you know, so we're supposed to be, we're not supposed to do. And on the other hand, it's very clear that, like, you know, Jesus says over and over and over again, and if you look at his life, and he led by example, it's not just kind of the solitary faith that we have, that it's just about my own personal salvation. It's very much so about being a part of social justice. So how do you kind of combine these two so that it's a both and? Or I think in the way, like, maybe P. Sam was talking about it last year, it would be kind of the radical middle. How do you get these two concepts to come together? And I think about this, and I think about it, it's really love, right? Because, and again, this is kind of like God's, the two major commandments to us, you know, are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? So it's love. And I think, you know, God doesn't want us to be focused on all these rules and all these things that we have to do. Even though Jesus kind of goes out and tells us to do these things, I really don't think that's at the core of it. Because if you think about it, if you've been, you know, I guess there are some married folks here, and I'm sure like everybody's been in a relationship before, if not with like, you know, a significant other, but with your parents or your kids, then, you know, you want people to be doing things out of a genuine love for you, right? I liked it how, like, maybe P. Nate put it yesterday when he was talking about, like, when a guy proposes to someone, he gets a ring, and it doesn't make any sense at all, right? It's not logical at all, but it's just, that's his heart, right? And in the same way, you know, if in our relationships, like, I guess with our parents, especially in Asia, you have this idea of like filial piety and that you have to treat your parents some way, and you have to, in Korean, I guess there's a concept of hyo, where, you know, being a good son or a good daughter means, you know, you treat your parents with like a lot of respect and you take care of them in their old age. But I would challenge that thought and say, you know, that's great, that's a good value. That is not love, right? Because if you're doing it out of this obligation, then, you know, that I just have a hard time picturing that as love. Love is kind of something that you cannot control, right? It's you just always are constantly thinking about how would I be a blessing to this person? How would I, you know, pour love on this person because of just this genuine kind of heart that you have, right? And that's kind of I think that's what God desires of us. And we disappoint him all the time, right? Because, you know, even when you start out with that attitude of, hey, you know, I want to do this for God. And for me, maybe, I guess a good example would be SP Lights is, you know, this. It starts out with this sense of like, oh, I want to do this for God. God has placed this burden on my heart. And it starts out with that, and you pray about it, and you pray about the next steps and stuff. But along the way, you know, it becomes very administrative, right? Because you settle into a pattern, and, you know, you send out the weekly emails, you You call out to people, checking on whether they can make it or not. You go down the checklist, who's preparing the baked goods and stuff, and you think about, oh, okay, this is how I talk to this person or that person, and that worked very well. Maybe this didn't work very well. And so you think about these things, and along the way, it becomes like a work. And it's God kind of sometimes like falls out of the picture. You settle into your routine, and you know, I find this happens like not just only in the ministry stage, but also at work, at the workplace, where, you know, in your daily interactions with people, you may have started off the morning at EMP and you're contemplating, you know, what is God telling me today? But then once you get into the office and you start going through all the emails and the phone calls, and you go through the list of everything that you have to do that day, you know, God kind of falls out of the picture, and you're once again thinking like, okay, what do I have to do? And you're starting to rely on your own strength, right? And I really think kind of that in its own way is also kind of straying from what God's heart is. Because he wants us to just kind of always constantly have that love relationship with him that you might have with, you know, your wife or your husband or your parent or your kid, where it's not, you know, it's not kind of following the rules or going down a checklist, right? It's just this constant desire to please him. Now, I think actually, you know, if you're here at EMP, then, you know, more so than maybe others, you already kind of have a little bit of that heart. And it's the danger. You know, I think sometimes it can also go the other way of, getting too focused on the works and getting too, you know, like, sorry, that was just a brain fart. But it's, you know, as we go through the day and kind of think about, you know, how would I please God? It's very tough, I think, in that, again, you just don't want to make it a transactional relationship. I think that's what I was trying to get at. It's there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, right? God loves you just the way you are. He sent his son because for God loved the world so much, he sent his only son, right? It's not that, you know, he sent his son to, like, receive our love or anything. He loved us already, right? And as sinners as we are. So it, on the one hand, I'd say, you know, it's really important that you accept that and realize that, you know, in whatever state you are in, God already does love you. But if that doesn't prompt, if that relationship doesn't prompt you kind of to, you know, look at the people around you as well, and kind of try to replicate God's heart, then it's a tough word, but it is something to think about, is whether or not, you know, I can say that I love God, I can sing the songs, I can pray my prayers, but I guess, you know, just to reiterate, I guess kind of using Tim Keller's words is, you know, if you don't love the poor, the hungry, the naked, then no matter what you say, you don't love me. You do not have a relationship with me. It's full of compliance and ordinances, but you do not have a relationship with me. The way you treat the poor informs me of the reality of your relationship with me. Yeah, and just, you know, like I've kind of rambled on a little bit, but just to bring it back to a few things that I guess PU shared about, like Micah 6:8, about, you know, and it goes, you know, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Right? And, you know, I guess I just want to share kind of the context of Micah 6:8 was, it's in the context of, you know, as Piyud shared, people kind of complaining about, look, I've done all these things for you, and why are you not answering me, right? And You know, a very often quoted verse, Jeremiah 29, 11, 13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Right? Hosea 2:14, Hosea was told to marry this prostitute who keeps on going out and cheating on him, and the verse Hosea 2:14, famous one, it's about then I will lure her into the wilderness and speak softly to her, and then I will return her to the valleys of Achor and give her riches and stuff. And so if you find yourself straying away from like kind of the heart of God, and you're forgetting about those people around you or focusing on God, you're in good company. That happens to everybody. It happens to the people of Israel over and over and over again all throughout their history. It happens to probably each of us on a daily basis. But God, God has his plans for us, and he's just constantly there, kind of just continuously pouring his love on us. So we always have an opportunity to go back to him. But then in the same way, I guess the only thing that I would really want to leave you with today is that remember that whatever you do, God has always loved you. God will always love you. God loves you today. But, what he wants from you is for you to love him back in that same way, right? And loving him back in that same way entails certain actions. It entails, expressing your love for him. He wants consistency with what you say and what you do. And I think a lot of kind of Jesus' ministry is to help us look at what actions we can take to express our love for him, right? It's not, they're there not as commandments purely as a checklist of things to do, but kind of just illustrations of how we can express our love for God and how we can express our love for, for our neighbors. So if I kind of rambled here and there a little bit, please do forgive me, but I would pray that the Holy Spirit would have spoken to you nevertheless, and that, as you contemplate Matthew 25, that you'll be prompted in some way today to reach out and do justice today. So maybe we could go into a communal time of prayer after Jay leads us in a time of response and worship.
disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. To know and follow hard after you. As your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you.
So before we go into prayers for our community, we could just like pray, start out with a little prayer about, you know, us doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God. So our Heavenly Father, Daddy, may we just acknowledge you and lift your name up high. Sovereign God, really that has been there with us every day of our lives. Father God, and you know, we just thank you for those moments in our lives, the highs and the lows, and the fact that you were there through it all to watch us, that you've experienced us, Father God, that we have a God who, you know, can empathize with us because you have been through it as well. Father God, and in those moments when, you know, we have this desire to really do your justice, Father God, but that sometimes we may lack the faith to devote the time or money or, you know, the heart to engage in doing your justice, Father God, because of all the other things on our plate, because our work commitments, our family commitments. Father God, in those moments, would you just remind us of how you've carried us through our whole lives. That if we take the time to do your justice, that you're not going to let everything else that's on our plates just fall to the ground, Father God, but that you will take care of our work as we take care of yours. And for each person sitting here today and listening, over the podcast, Father God, would you just shine a light right now on whatever area of society or life it is, about doing justice and something that they would like to see change, that they can be passionate about. And if they, if we sometimes also lack the faith in that, we don't know what we could do to change anything, or that, we're not confident in our abilities to contribute, Father God, that you would remind us that it's not our abilities that matter, but it's just our surrender to you so that you can work through us, Father God. And also just how, the experiences that we've been through, if it's someone who struggled with depression, then that you've equipped that person to reach out to someone else who might be struggling with depression. If it's someone who has, struggled with drugs, alcoholism, you've equipped that person to reach out to someone else who's struggling with those addictions. If it's, how to keep faith in the midst of seeking a job, you've equipped that person to reach out to someone else who might be struggling as well. So Father God, just thank you for the passion that you have already sowed in each of our hearts, Father God, to do your justice. And that we can do so because of your grace and your mercy upon us. And that we might just, lower ourselves before you. That we would take a moment just to really really perceive who you are and what a magnificent God you are. And who we are, Father God, as your children and your royal sons and daughters, Father God. And now if we could pray for our community. First, for those who are kind of suffering from cancer or undergoing chemo right now. If there's someone who speaks out to you, who God is kind of like really focusing you on right now, you can just pray for that person. Pray for them by name. We could go on to the next slide.
We're praying for others with illnesses, but who are also really need to meet God and get that relationship with God and just really, you know, accept Jesus into their lives. We note there's an addition at the bottom of the list, Hodge's friend's wife, Sarah Ripto. A terminal brain cancer, I guess she was told that she only has a few months to live. And these kinds of, the hardest cases, I guess, can bring the best testimonies. So let's like really dig in and pray for healing, but healing that leads to an understanding of God in their lives. We'll take some time to pray for others in our community who are suffering from different illnesses and infirmities. I pray for a complete healing and just full restoration. If we could take some time to pray for those who are searching for jobs, that not only would God open up doors, but that in this waiting period that He would really impress upon our community that He is Jehovah Jireh, that He does provide. Pray also that we as a community could also reach out to our brothers and sisters and maybe, you know, look for opportunities where we could, maybe God has kind of shown some of us opportunities that are to be shared. Thank you. Then moving on to our Thursday community focus. Thursday, so we pray for both North Korea, South Korea, in Japan. Obviously, we also continue to pray for Kenneth Bay and his kind of situation. 15 years hard labor is kind of, you know, what he's been sentenced to. But just really pray for the church in North Korea. And kind of God's role for South Korea as well in bringing restoration and reconciliation to the peninsula. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu in Japan. We also lift up Samuel Khan, Pastor Sophia, everyone who's been impressed upon with the heart for Japan as well. If we could spend some time praying for, the IP ministry, the well, Cascade. Let's first pray for those and that, that everyone in those ministries and the various leaders of those ministries would just, continually to seek God and that draw their strength from their relationship with Him. That we would see, miraculous healings just really for the glory of God. Maybe more ministers in Cascade that we could get through this waiting list and that, that God's freedom would really be available to everyone who seeks it. Pray some focused time on the hospitality ministries and welcoming and barista ministries. And while we do that, just maybe that we could pray that everyone at our church would, even if they're not officially part of the welcoming and barista ministries, really keep it in their own hearts that that we're all part of the hospitality ministry, that we're all meant to welcome newcomers, that we would be able to reach out to that unfamiliar face and say hi. That we would reach out to them in the same way that God reached out to us.
Shh.
Let's lift up the Hong Kong Korean Church, Pastor Choi. You know that the Korean Church would have you know, experienced some real spiritual growth, and that there would be unity, maybe even forging bonds between us and what is essentially our parent church, I guess. Yeah, so let's just lift up the Hong Kong Korean Church. Finally, if we could lift up our house churches meeting tonight, the Elements and Conduit House Churches, that there would be a really an intertwining of lives. God calls us to live in community with each other, to be vulnerable, to rely on each other. We were not created to be independent. That there would be a real sense of koinonia tonight, and that in being genuine and open with each other, that would be a starting point, you know. That really getting ferociously involved with each other's lives would, you know, that's a starting point for love and justice. That it would start at the home, start at the house church. That would overflow into the lives of others as well. Father God, we thank you for this time of prayer and community. Just ask your blessing upon each and every person today, and that you would increase our faith to really trust and rely on you. That again, that we would be able to, you know, just bring our lives to you, that in the faith that you can take care of things while. While we also go out and try to share your light and love with those around us, Father God. Yeah, just be a blessing upon our church and our church members so that we may be a blessing to others as well. So enjoy the rest of your prayer time and your communications with God. Soak in his love.